Well, listen, this is just wonderful. Thank you all. And I know there are 10,000 people on here, and only 1% of you really said hi. But thank you. You know, when Donna and I talk about this precious hour every month, or when Donna really talks about to other people, she just gets so excited because it really is community. And that, by telephone, we can have the kind of, the kind of intimacy, the kind of bondedness that's here. So I would like to really invite to feel connected, to feel held, to feel loved, to feel honored, and just to feel a part of whether we call it a community or a family or whatever we want to call it, just a group of people who are one with you in a very, very, very special way. I am going to press my mute button right now, and I'm going to ask all of you, if you would, to press your mute button, which would be like *6 on all of your phones. And so if you would all just press that *6, that's good. Let's try that again. *6 on your phone right now. That way, we won't be bothering each other if one of us is doing the dishes in the background or whatever else is happening. So Donna mentioned that I want to talk with us this evening about finding perfection within yourself. And we could expand that, of course, finding perfection in life, finding perfection in the world, finding perfection anywhere and everywhere. You know, it's interesting to me that we have these sayings, we're created in the image and likeness of God, or we were created perfect. And if we look deeply within ourselves, we find the essence or perfection of life in there. And, of course, I deeply, deeply believe and know that. But it's interesting, I talk to so many people, and I'm sure you do too, where they say, look, with all the wars and the starvation and the malnutrition and the problems in the world, with all the hurricanes and tornadoes and all the destruction that's around, with all the ways we treat each other poorly or terribly, how can you talk about perfection? Because obviously the world is not very perfect, and a lot of those same people would say, if I look within myself, not just others, I don't find a very perfect-looking self in there. I'm perhaps at war with myself. I'm starving facets of myself. I'm feeling some kind of destruction within myself. So whether looking outside or whether looking inside, so many of us really, really don't see or experience the perfection of life. So I really want to talk with us tonight about perfection. You know, if I'm just really honest, I do see and experience and know the perfection of each person and of the whole world. And while it's a bit of an unpopular topic, given the introduction I've just made, in other words, given all the feelings that people have about the dualistically based seeming imperfection in life, I really want to just talk a little bit about what I feel like is the perfect you. Most of you who know me know that I've been allowed certain gifts in life, and one of those gifts is to be able to see life and see people, if you will, through the eyes of God, or through the eyes of oneness, or through the eyes of that essence that lives everywhere in life and everywhere in each of us. And truly for me, and I'm just sharing my experience, and I'm certainly not trying to convince anyone, but I really, for myself, just want to share that when I see you, I really see an absolute exquisite embodiment of God. I mean, really, a manifestation, a human version of that divinity that we call God, or whatever we want to call that, that essence of life, that ultimate higher power, that force that's everywhere, that is perhaps indefinable, but in the human you, it becomes definable. So I look at you, and what do I see? I see that essence. I see absolute bright light. That's right. The literal you, the real you, is such a beautiful, radiant light, such a being of magnificence. When I look at you, I see somebody who, made in the image and likeness of God, is just perfect, just in your simplicity, in your non-clutteredness, in your absolute essence. There is nothing wrong with you in the least. When I look at life, I see the same thing, absolutely nothing wrong. And, of course, seen through the eyes of oneness, through the eyes of oneness where we don't have that duality-based judgment or perception that there's sort of pull and tug between right and wrong and good and bad and up and down. Through the eyes of oneness, you look wonderful. Or to you do the old Saturday Night Live thing, you look marvelous, darling, simply marvelous. So you look magnificent. You look like such a beautiful manifestation, a radiant expression of the divine. So that's what I see, literally, and I could go on, but I want to make a number of other points about you, because at the end of this talk, what I'm hoping is that you will be seeing you, perceiving you, feeling you, experiencing you, knowing you as perfect, as that radiant light, as that manifestation, that embodiment of any and all and every quality of God that you can come up with or that anybody can come up with. So here's another version of it. I had this marvelous activity over the weekend. It was one of those small group intensive and retreat kinds of experiences with seven magnificent people. We spent 3 days just hanging out together in just a magnificent celebration of them and of life. And what I said to them in this regard was this, that number one, I see each of them as this radiant manifestation of God. And then what I do, and I'm just sharing how it works for me, then what I see when I'm looking at you is right in front of that manifestation, there's the equivalent of what I feel like calling a movie screen, or if you want a computer monitor, depending on your version of technology. So I see this movie screen, and onto that movie screen, you project your beliefs, your interpretations of life, your stories, your myths about yourself and about what life is like. And so it's like here you are, this beautiful, radiant God self watching this movie. Now, this movie is very much about life, and it's very much about you. And what I've discovered, in fact, it's an old psychological truth, if you will, as well as a spiritual one, is that what we believe is projected onto that screen, and the nature of that belief determines the nature of the experience or the movie that plays out on that screen. So we've often heard it, if I feel like I'm a loser, I draw to myself experiences in which I create a losing scenario for myself. If I believe I'm unworthy of love, I draw to myself somebody who's going to treat me in a way that absolutely demonstrates how unworthy I am of being loved by someone very, very special. And in contrast, if I believe that I'm just an exceptional, extraordinary person, or that I have a right to happiness in life, or if I really, really deserve an extraordinary relationship, if I believe that clear down to my core, then that belief, that myth, that story, that version of my interpretation of me in life is going to appear on the screen. And then on the screen from that is going to get created what my life is all about. So here I am, an absolutely amazing God self, a unique, remarkable, just beauty-filled version of the divine, having an experience of going to the movies. And my whole human life is a grand experience of going to the movies. And I'm not just watching the movie, I'm interacting in the movie, I'm the main character of the movie. It's like having a dream. When we go to sleep at night and have a dream, we're the main character oftentimes. And when we're in the movie, we're very much wrapped up in what that movie's about, and we believe the movie or the dream to be very, very, very real. So I feel like when any of us says, you know, look, I'm not seeing the perfection of life because I'm looking at what's wrong, we're really looking on the movie screen and are so wrapped up in and believing that what's on the screen is the truth of life that we forget. And that's all it is, I think, is we simply forget that we're really perfect, that life is perfect, that everything around us is perfect. We don't allow ourselves to look at ourselves or at life through those eyes of God. And I believe that's all it is we simply forget. So here's what I'd like to invite each of us to. If it feels right, first of all, according to the picture I just presented, invite yourself to notice the screen. And also, if it feels right, invite yourself to notice the perfect you watching the movie. Now, I'm really not trying to instigate a duality style of experience. It's like you hear the divine you watching the human you. But bear with me for just a minute. We'll unite this after a little bit. So number one, notice the screen and notice what's going on the screen. And then notice how what your myths are, your stories are, your beliefs are, your perceptions of yourself, your ideologies about life, your theologies about and cosmologies about how the world's put together, your underlying, if you will, stories about yourself that live either consciously or subconsciously. Note how those are creating the particular movie. Those beliefs are, if you will, the producers and directors of the movie, perhaps the screenwriters of the movie that's there. And if you're not liking the movie, if you're looking at it, for example, and saying, oh, there's this problem and there's that wrong, and if only it were this way, then you can go back to the script, go back to the control panel, if you will, go back to the producer and the director that you are, and decide how you want to rewrite that script. And that's literally what we can do, is we can rewrite the script of our lives. And the reason we can do that is, and then this is the second theme again, we're perfect. We really are this human version of God. And what is God, if not, among other things, a creator? What can God do but just create anything and everything? What can the divine do in life and in all levels and all dimensions of life except create it any way he or she or it wants to create it? So here we are on earth, made in the image and likeness of God, given that same creative dynamic quality and put together with the kind of love and the kind of support and the kind of empowerment and the kind of creative nature that leaves us having the alternative, having the option, having the power, and I believe having the birthright to create onto the screen of our lives exactly what we want. And we can do it because that God nature is right there. That divine self is right here in the director's chair, in the creator's seat, in the screenwriter's position. So to me, this is it's just an amazing, marvelous facet of life. I know we all come, and part of our myths, part of our stories, part of our beliefs are, oh, we don't have the power to. We don't have the deservingness to. We maybe are too wrapped up in shame in order to create our life. Or, in other words, we don't feel like we've got the permission. But, you know, that permission is there. Really, if we look right inside, right now, right down to the core and the depths of who we are, to that divine spark or that divine essence within us, and we look for God in there, what do we see? Sure enough, right now, there's God. We see God, and if we ask God, do I have permission to create my life? What I hear right now is, yes. Yes, that divine spark of you, that essence of you, that kernel of you, that is divine beauty, simplicity, wonder, light, grandeur, and perfection is saying, I give you every right. I created you in my image and my likeness. I made you the co-creator of this movie screen, of this life that's yours. So you make it what you want to make it. You make it the divine creation. You make it the expression of the very perfection that's you, if you want, if you choose. And of course, the interesting thing about this cute little earth plane, I think, is that we have a right to make it any way we want. And in the bigger picture, maybe it doesn't matter. But in the immediate picture, it matters to us because I think most of us want some version of happiness or freedom or love or fullness. And the neat thing is we have that power within us to create that because we're perfect. So I'd like to present this picture to you. The picture is this. Imagine yourself looking into yourself, looking through yourself, looking around yourself, looking out even at the world around you, looking out at the people who occupy a major place in your life, looking at all of that from inside to outside and seeing perfection. Just let yourself be in that space for just a moment, seeing beauty, seeing wonder, imaging simplicity-centered, light-filled radiance. Imagine yourself as you're looking inside, outside, and just seeing yourself and life and others through the eyes of the divine, meaning through the eyes of your own divine nature. What do you see? You see probably other people not so much in the context of pull and tug between what's good and what's not good, but you see their light. You see their radiance. You look in yourself, down at the core, maybe through all those other visions of something's wrong or visions of judgment, and what do you see? Through the eyes of your divine self, through the eyes of your unified self, you see, I think, some version of this same person I see, an amazing, deserving to be celebrated, remarkable being of wonder, of beauty, of divinity, of magnificence. I believe you see someone who deserves to be celebrated, who deserves to be loved by you as well as by others, who deserves to be honored and supported, who deserves to have not just a life, but a self and an experience of self that's just, if you will, first class. I love the picture because, as I see it, it's the exact picture of how God sees you, the exact picture of you as the perfect and the perfectly created self. And of course, being perfect doesn't mean that what's on the screen always looks perfect, because what's on the screen is usually seen through those eyes of judgment and those eyes of something wrong. But imagine, if we take that imagination, the next step, imagine yourself never leaving those eyes of the divine, always looking at everything through the eyes of that unified field of divine perception. Imagine this view of life that you're having right now never going away. And you know what? You can help that to happen by deciding, and deciding now if you want to always be the director, the screenwriter, the producer of what's on the screen. In fact, if you want to right now, just look back at that screen and look at yourself on the screen and look at your life on the screen, but look at it as the director, producer, screenwriter of what's seen through the eyes of God. And it's a remarkable, remarkable world. You know, as you're looking at that as background music, I'd like to say this. Probably with me, you've been fascinated by a lot of those Eastern approaches that talk about this world as a world of illusion or Maya, or a world of make-believe or of dream or of shadow. And I think, in a sense, that's what the movie screen often is for us. When we stop looking at life as perfect, as divinely magnificent, when we forget that we're literally created as the very beauty that is the divine, we look on the screen and we create an illusory picture. We create an alternative scenario, and shortly or briefly or bit by bit, we start believing that the alternative, the illusion, is the truth. But in fact, as we all know, the truth is you're really quite a remarkable, beautiful being. The truth is there's nothing in you that's wrong or bad. The deeper truth is there's nothing in you to be ashamed of, no matter what you've done. No matter how far back what you've done goes, no matter how terrible it may have seemed from that conscience-based, illusion-centered judgment, there's literally nothing wrong with you, and there's literally nothing wrong with anyone else. And to take it a step farther, and this stretches the mindset of many of us, there's really nothing wrong with this world, even though in our illusion, we've created scenarios of war and distractions of starvation and catastrophes that offend us, even though those are on our screen. If we look at even them deeply or long enough through the eyes of God, then we start to see the beauty. It's just like some of those modern art pieces that if we look at them for the first 5 seconds or so, they look a certain way. But if we keep looking, all of a sudden, the perception changes and we start seeing something very, very different in them. The same thing is true of this human scene. The more we look through the eyes of God, the more everything, sure enough, starts looking absolutely amazing. It starts looking so radiant. It starts looking so deserving to be celebrated. It starts looking, sure enough, like love. It starts looking like everybody's loving each other, even though the external expression may not, on the surface or at first glance, look like it. So, as I pull my remarks to a close, please hear this invitation. And I'm going to repeat myself a bit. First, look at the screen and maybe ask yourself if this, that is, what you're seeing on the screen is illusion or real. Second, look at yourself right now and just notice. That's all. Just notice that you are created in that divine image. Notice the perfection and the light and the beauty and the love that live within you, and just watch what they do. Watch their unique dance or their special movement or just the way they sit there and invite you. And then third, in a way that feels right to you, let yourself ask yourself, gee, is it possible for me to be this divine, perfect being in relation to what's on the screen of my life? Can I give myself, do I want to give myself permission to create the divine perception of perfection and beauty onto this screen? And do I want to live that? Do I want to, as I watch that movie and am the main character in that movie, do I want to create a life in which my every feel and experience is that of perfection? We know it is possible. We've watched certain, let's call them spiritual masters, show up to that and model that for us. And yet, just because some have done it and many haven't, doesn't mean that tonight it can't happen for you and me. In fact, I think that's one of the reasons why I felt really moved to have these monthly teleconferences, is because they're really monthly invitations. They're, if you will, like God, just in this instance, once a month, saying, hey, here's an invitation. Here's a way of looking at things. Why don't you try it on, like a set of clothes, and see what it feels like and see what you want to do with it. And so that's my final invitation. After all the others is, if you want, choose to stay in that perception and experience of the perfect, beautiful, radiant you. And invite yourself to stay there so long that ultimately you even forget the illusory version. And as you watch your screen more and more every day, that you see the beauty of you, the radiance of life, the magnificence of others, and the perfection of everything. Thank you so much for being with me in this space, in this bigger truth, and in this invitation to your soul. What I'd love to do now is I'd love to turn it over to any of us who would like to express anything. In a minute, what I'm going to do is I'm going to unmute my phone, and I'll ask you, if you will, to keep your phone muted unless you want to say something. Again, what I'm about to invite is anybody who wants to add to what I've said or just share whatever this means for you, or if you have perhaps another way of looking at it or insight, feel free to share that with us, or anything you want to do. I'm not usually in this hour that oriented toward answering questions, because after me talking, I'm much more excited about just hearing the wisdom that is there from you. So I am right now unmuting my phone, and ask anybody who wants to say anything to unmute your phone. And I am just all excited to be inviting anybody who wants to share anything to do it. And if you would just say your first name and where you're from, and then whatever you'd like to say.
Well, this is Carol from California.
Carol from California. Hi, Carol.
And I love what you said, and I can step into the beauty of that. And then there's this piece of my mind where there's some dissonance, and it's a question which you may not answer, but I'll put it out there. Because on the one hand, if we can be the producers, the writers, and the directors of what's on the screen, where does that leave the piece that life lives us, that free will is an illusion? So that's where I'm flipping back and forth.
Oh, Carol, that is one magnificent, magnificent question. Where I just ever so briefly want to go with that is that the self that's the director is really the self that is absolutely one with one's own soul, one with life, and it is the self that's, if you will, the God self, the bigger than smaller self aspect of us. And I feel like the more we go to that director's position, the more we automatically embrace life, and it literally is life leading us and life deciding for us what is going to be on that screen. So as we just let go and let God, if you will, let go and let life, we literally become that. And I appreciate your saying it, because I bypass that particular approach to it, but what you're saying is just a perfect complement to what I was saying. Thanks, Carol.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
Selena.
Well, hello, Selena.
I just wanted to say many, many, many thanks and just let you know my production's coming alive.
Well, good.
And it's delightful to hear your voice and Donna's.
Oh,
thanks
thank
so,
you
much.
So much. Oh, you bet, Selena. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, anybody else? We're waiting for anyone, if anybody wants to say anything. My goodness, Donna, don't we have just taking it in internally and not
have
feeling
like
sharing.
Have you unmuted everybody? Can you hear them?
What's that?
Are you sure you can hear people?
Oh, I think so.
Okay.
Somebody want to just say something just to make sure I can that we're not on mute?
Hello?
Oh, yeah, very good. We're in good shape. Is there anybody else who'd like to share anything?
Can you hear me, Bill?
Sure.
Okay, this is Ruthie in Fairfield.
Oh, hi, Ruthie.
Hi. I think I missed a beat there. With Carol's question from California, I just don't quite understand the answer yet. And if I understand the question, it was that there is some knowledge that I think has come from you previously that free will is an illusion, is this correct, and that life lives us?
Mm-hmm.
And that her question was, if I understand correctly, if that's the case, then what is it actually projecting what appears to be the wars and the suffering and the struggle and so forth that we see on the screen? And it seemed as though your answer was that that actually is the God self or the soul, and I just don't completely understand. I wondered if you could speak to that just another minute.
Yeah, are you saying you heard me say that what we tend to see on the screen is our God self?
I think I misheard you, and that's what I thought you said.
Yeah, I think what I heard myself saying, Ruthie, is that what we often see on the screen in a more judgmental way is what's wrong.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't seeing that as an expression of our God self. I think it's
okay.
A question in a sense of sort of which set of eyes we tend to look at life from or through.
Okay.
And if we look at life through the eyes of God, that what we tend to see is we tend to see the perfection. And that we can project that onto the screen. In other words, or actually, that just automatically projects onto the screen.
Uh-huh.
But if I go back to the other theme that you talked about, I think about free will being an illusion. I think that's what's tricky about talking about the human scene is that almost anything we say, the exact opposite of it, can be said with pretty equal truth.
Uh-huh.
So I think a lot of times, depending on where people sit in life. Certain things feel true. For example, if I'm hanging out in that dualistic perception and I'm seeing life as a pull and tug between opposites, then that's the place where my free will usually is pretty strong, and because I'm going to want to use my free will to decide between those opposites. If I do let go and let God more, if I move up into a space of bigger life, and if more and more of my experience becomes a unified or oneness kind of experience, certainly from there the whole theme of free will becomes a sort of a non-existent kind of an illusion.
Uh-huh.
So from that point of view, what we can do is, and then this goes back to Carol's question. we can bypass the whole decide thing, which is what I was talking about. I sort of had one foot in both of those worlds, in a sense.
I see.
And what Carol beautifully did is she said, well, yeah, what about putting 2 feet in the world of oneness where we're all one and we're all life and life is living in and through all of us. I personally love that more. I was basically trying to put a foot in both camps to talk to the place where I felt like many of us were, which is where we've got one foot in both of those camps. So I apologize for any confusion that might be there.
No, I think I just misheard, and so I was confused by that. But now it's very clear. It's just sort of the difference between the small self and the big self,
mm-hmm.
I guess we could say.
Yes, right.
And then I also have a question. I've been doing some studying with A Course in Miracles, and I find myself challenged. Of course, the text is can be kind of inscrutable, and you work with it, and you know, but it can also be so beautiful and exquisite. And but I'm finding myself challenged by some of the concepts, such as the body not really being created by God, but being created by our own egos. And I so much am happier with the idea that God created everything. And I just, I wondered if you could speak to that point a little bit.
I'd be glad to do just a few sentences, Ruthie.
Okay.
Yeah, what's cute is Donna and I spent, I'm guessing, a couple of years back reading The Course in Miracles. We got up early every morning and read a passage, meditated on it, and then shared our thoughts or inspirations about it. Mm-hmm. It was very, very touching, and it's a beautiful book.
Mm-hmm.
It labels itself, of course, A Course in Mind Training, and it's one of its purposes is to bend or stretch our mind to looking at life in a bigger, different way. And one of those ways is it makes a big distinction between reality, which is very much God, and illusion, which
mm-hmm.
You just put some words to. It's like our ego creates this or that.
Right.
And again, I think The Course in Miracles does the same thing we just talked about, which is it has a foot in both worlds, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's there can be interpreted both from that place of perfection or divinity, or it can be interpreted from that place of ego. And I think its purpose is to keep helping us let go of ego and just look at life through the eyes of God. And yet it's a book that's challenging to many, many, many people. So I guess my suggestion to you is you take what's there that feels right to you. And this is probably true of reading any book. What feels right to you, and then what doesn't, whether it's true or not, just sort of let it go and invite yourself to consider it, and then always, always, always listen to your own heart, your own soul in terms of what feels right to you, because no matter what picture of reality is there, given by anybody, including me, the real bottom line, the really important thing is what feels like the version of truth that I myself am called to.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say that about it.
Right. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean for you to make a judgment about The Course in Miracles. I was actually asking you if you believe that God creates bodies, or
yeah.
whether we do.
yeah. Well, I think the answer to that is going to depend on the angle we're looking at it from.
Okay.
If I'm looking at it from the angle of the divine, I could answer it either way, and either way to me would be exactly right.
Okay.
But again, that's hard to swallow if one is listening to it dualistically. If you're listening to it from a place of unity, everything is that's expressed has an element of truth to it. So let me just shift off of that and ask if there's, thank you, Ruthie, if there's
thank
anybody
you.
Else who'd like to say anything before we shift in a different direction.
Bill?
Yes?
This is Evelyn Helwig.
Oh, Evelyn, hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so good, I can't stand it, Evelyn.
Oh,
thank you.
I love it. Bill, when you guided us to go inside and think about these things, I was overcome with and to think about the world out there and, you know, back and forth. I was overcome with fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that this is kind of a mortal fear I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wondered maybe if you might have a word of wisdom for me.
Well, I think that's just perfect, Evelyn. I'd be delighted. Again, it may not be the ultimate wisdom, but it's at least something that comes to me. And I think you probably speak for some others as well. I think that's the sort of one of the side effects when we look on the screen and see something that is rooted in a belief that terrible things can happen, or terrible things can happen to us, or terrible things can happen to the world. And that's a very common belief, and a lot gets created from that belief. That fear usually lives way down deep in our core, down in our gut, even down in our primal self, down in our deepest chakras, if you will. And I think the best thing to do, Evelyn, and I'm saying this to you, but really to a lot of us, and it is a generality, and there are exceptions, but the best thing to do is just look at that fear and maybe put that fear on the screen, and then just send every bit of love that you can imagine to that fear. Because love, of course, is the ultimate healer. And fear is irrational, which means we can't really talk to the fear that much because fear is not really that interested in our logic. It's just plain old fear. But the one thing fear does respond to is love, and especially over time. Any time you feel fear, just put that fear on the screen and just send it love, or just embrace the fear, or just give it the kind of unconditional love and healing that you can muster. So that's what I just feel moved to say.
Thank you very much, Bill.
And I want to thank all of you again for this. I'm going to put us all on mute again and ask you to do the same thing, the star six for yourself. And let's see, I'm still hearing, so let me... There. I think I've just muted all of us. And I really thank you very much. I apologize for taking the extra time to answer or respond to what was there in terms of questions. If you, like me, were looking more for everyone to share their own wisdom, and I don't apologize to the persons who asked them, because I really lovingly respond in whatever way. But anyway, it's been a very, very sacred time together here. I would like and be honored to take all the next 6 or 7 minutes and lead us in a guided meditative time together around the theme of your perfection. So if you will, be with me now in the beauty and the divinity of you. And open yourself to letting the divinity of you give you an experience right here, right now, of yourself. In other words, you can rely on just the perception that you have, but also what's about to happen, what's present here, is that divine force that is God. And that divine force that is you is here really wanting to connect with you, wanting to be a more personal or personalized inviter to you of yourself. So with me and with my words as background music, let yourself just be drawn in right now, drawn into that center of your own being. For some of us, it may be that place in the heart. It may be that place in the soul, but drawn into the truth, just the simple, plain divine truth about you and the truth that you are made in the image of the divine. And let yourself, as you feel the invitation from within, be called into all the implications of that, created in the image of the divine. And let yourself open your intuitive sense, if you will, your emotional feelings, your energetic experience, or your conceptual mind, to that inner invitation that says, I am God living in your core. And just as a pebble thrown into a quiet lake creates ripples, I, God, in my expressiveness, have created myself in many versions and ripples, many of which are you. You, the ripple of divine love, the embodiment of divine truth, the experiencer of divine wonder, the presence of divine magnificence. That's all here. It's all you. It's all just perfect. And in fact, at least as we've learned spiritually and in the quantum world, as within, so without, meaning that what is true in one place is literally true everywhere. And so the divine wonder that is you lives everywhere around you as well. It lives in your body. It lives in your organs. It lives in your heart. It lives in your emotions, in your mind, in your energies. It lives in your cells and your atoms and all those subatomic particles. The divine light that is so radiant in your being lives in your aura, meaning it just expresses out from you. And so as you let yourself either see that or sense that or kind of know that, you can watch or image that divine light just going out and touching everything around you, everyone in your world. And in fact, if you feel like it, you can watch or intend that that radiant light of the divine that is you is going out right now all around the world and touching every human being, touching every situation, touching nature, touching every animal and every fish or life in the oceans and the waters, touching every facet of the atmosphere, touching the ozone layer, touching the space around our precious planet, touching the space in the middle of, at the core of our precious planet, touching every bit of air that you're breathing into your lungs right now, touching every issue that everyone on the planet has, and just that radiant light just informally, quietly, lovingly, beautifully blessing everyone, blessing every circumstance, blessing everything that's on the movie screen of life, on the movie screen that we're all creating and watching. And in that sense, just as God is all-powerful and all-loving and all-blessing of all life, so too you share in that, as right now you experience yourself and that radiant light and that ultimate perfection and that divine wonder and that magnificence of you just embracing everything and everybody and just knowing that you in that embrace are loving and blessing and healing and nurturing and empowering and expanding everyone and everything that's possible. What a beautiful, beautiful gift you're just giving all of us in this community gathered together right here, right now, and giving everyone and everything and every life on earth. Imagine, just with this moment of just intentionally touching all life, everything, every tree, every plant, every animal, every insect, every bit of prana or chi or air, every human being, every pain in every human being is just touched right now. And notice as that's happening that, sure enough, you're probably seeing all of them through the eyes of God, seeing them in their beauty, loving them in their perfection, them in whatever might be their illusion. I really, genuinely thank you for being with us, all of us, in this unified gathering, in this way that we've come together to play in and to receive the bigger blessings of the perfection that we are, in the ways that you've contributed, either by what you've said or just by your presence, and just by the fact that when you drink in any blessing, you drink it in for yourself, but you drink it in for every human being and for all life on this planet and all around and everywhere through the universe. What a beautiful, beautiful expression of the divine you are. Thank you so much for being you. Beautiful, radiant, perfect. Ready? Would you want to just conclude this for us?
Yes, I do. I was still in the magnificence of seeing that radiation of light, and I think the thought I want to take away is that when I am in that space, then any self-judgment, any judgment in a bigger arena melts away, and I just see that as sending the light, and that is so empowering for me. So I want to thank you, Bill, for the wonderful message that you gave us. And in closing tonight, I just want to remind you that this session is available for the next 30 days simply by calling 212-990-6904 or going to Bill's website where you can listen to it or download tonight's session. And soon we will have the Center for Soulful Living's website up. Receive all of it from that website also. So we thank you so much for joining us, and we will look forward to another get-together this month. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Use your phone to say goodbye to all of us.
Bye. Thank you.
Goodbye. We love you. Wonderful, wonderful month, and I will carry you all in.
Thank you.
Thank
Yo.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 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 Thank you. Bye.